Hello, and welcome to The Storyteller's Mission with Zena Del Lowe, a podcast for artists and storytellers about changing the world for the better through story. First of all, I want to thank all of you who reached out last week to express your condolences after the terrible tragedy that befell my family. Really, truly, it's just so amazing to be part of a community where people reach out and express their love and sympathies. It's really incredible. As you can imagine, we've all just been doing the best we can to get through the days and to do the things that need to be done. This weekend, I head home to Montana to attend the funerals of my brother and my sister-in-law. And I'm happy to report that my nephew continues to fight the good fight, and he seems to be doing well under the circumstances. So thank you for that. I don't want to spend any more time reviewing that because I do believe that what we're talking about is important. And you might not think what we're talking about would matter when it comes to the kind of trauma that a family like ours just experienced, but I actually happen to think it's the opposite. When something like this happens, what's the first thing we do to try to understand it? We start telling stories. When something like this happens, the first thing that we do as human beings is start telling stories. We tell stories about what happened. We tell stories about what's happening now. We tell stories about the people who aren't with us anymore and what they were like. It's the stories. It's the stories of these people that tell us who they are, what we're missing, and help us to process our grief. Story matters. Story is it. Story is the primary means by which we human beings understand our world and our place in it. And one of the things that starts to happen, or at least it did for me, is I start thinking about my own obituary. What's going to be written in it? What are people going to say? Why am I here? What have I accomplished? And I am convinced, and I hope, that I am fulfilling the purpose for which God created me, even now, by doing this podcast and trying to give you the tools that you need to write incredible stories so that maybe your book can go on to change the world. To that end, I want to pick up where we left off in episode 4. And what I was trying to do in that episode was draw a distinction between 3 different types of characters. On the one hand, we have a classic protagonist, which is the character that is the hero in the making. That character is different than an anti-hero. Now, an anti-hero can be a protagonist, but I'm trying to differentiate terms to hopefully eliminate confusion, because an anti-hero is a different kind of protagonist. So let's call a true protagonist or a classic protagonist a hero in the making versus an anti-hero, which is a borderline villainous character that might be the central character, but they're not actually necessarily a hero in the making. They might have to be redeemed because they're not heroic. They don't have all the goods inside of them even now to become the hero that they were always meant to be. They might have more of the villainous qualities that they have to be redeemed from. And though I may not have said it explicitly in episode 4, what I was trying to argue is that we need to understand these clear distinctions as writers, because the type of main character you have is going to determine the requirements of your story. Different story types require different things. There are different things that you need to accomplish depending on the type of protagonist you have. So again, a classic protagonist should be a hero in the making, which means they should have all the stuff of heroes already in them. And then the story becomes the catalyst by which their inner hero is born. An anti-hero, on the other hand, doesn't necessarily have the makings of a hero, whereas a villain certainly doesn't have such heroic qualities, unless you intend to redeem them. Even then, the villain is evil and has to be redeemed from that. To that end, then, there are certain types of characteristics or qualities that are tricky to give a character that you've deemed to be a classic protagonist or a hero in the making. Whereas you can give some of these tricky traits to a character that you know is an anti-hero. But you can't necessarily give them to a classic protagonist because there are certain things that must be true for a character to be deemed a hero in the making. But let me make this clear. It doesn't mean that you can't decide that your story needs an anti-hero. The key is that by the time we get to the end of the story, you don't want to be propagating a lie. You don't want to be adding more cynicism to the world, I think, or else you probably wouldn't be listening to this podcast. So I make up that your desire is not to promote a cynical, hopeless view of existence. Now, there are some people that think that we should never, ever have an anti-hero at the center of a story. But I actually don't agree with that. Because again, I believe in representing the world as it really is. And guess what? We have cynical people in our society. So sometimes the best way to reach people is to have a character that best represents their worldview and then show that character being redeemed along the way. So sometimes it might be best to have a main character who is a cynic or an anti-hero. But if you go that route, again, the key is that you make sure you only have a cynical character and not a cynical worldview. A cynical worldview is off limits to you if you are a Christian. You can have a cynical character, but not a cynical worldview itself. So the character can believe that the world is a hopeless place. But you, if you want to represent a true biblical worldview, cannot tell a story that promotes cynicism as representing the truth about the world the way it really is. And this then becomes the fundamental difference between, say, a secular telling of an anti-hero story and the way maybe we would tell that story. Because at the end of the day, we have a responsibility to redeem an anti-hero and to show them the error of their ways, as it were. We have to win them over to a different worldview. So they can start out a villain. They can start out an anti-hero. But by the end of the story, if we want to uphold a true biblical Christian worldview, we need to redeem them. And it's not because we're trying to force a false narrative, by the way, but rather because the first principle of storytelling is to tell the truth. Our goal as storytellers is to always and forever tell the truth about the world as it really is. And if you're listening to this podcast, I suspect that you agree with me that the Christian worldview actually offers the best explanation of the world as God actually created it. So it's not that we're trying to force an agenda. And it's not that we're trying to trick our audience into buying into this false or Pollyanna worldview. It's that we're trying to reveal the truth about the world as it really actually exists. Which means we have to win our characters over from the false worldview that they've adopted. And if we don't win them over, that's okay, but we still have to be able to show that they believe a false view of the world because we're showing through the story what is true, and our characters then are refusing to accept that truth, or they're refusing to repent and they make the wrong choice. So again, how is this important to you as a writer? Well, it's important for you to know what kind of character you're starting out with, because the type of character you start with dictates the dramatic needs of your story. And if you don't know, for example, that you actually have an anti-hero at the center of your story rather than a classic protagonist, you're going to confuse yourself, you're going to confuse your audience, and you're going to confuse the world. You're going to not give the story the things that it needs to truly embody to represent a true Christian worldview. And ultimately then, you're going to cause harm to society. So what we're going to continue to do over the next couple of weeks is basically look at examples of this. I want to show you examples that actually exist of stories where people maybe didn't understand what kind of protagonist they had, or maybe they did, and how an anti-hero actually is damaging to society. So it's kind of like looking at case studies of how this is done in fiction and in movies and in books. And we're going to analyze what those stories have done to us as a culture. Now again, part of the reason why this is important is because I see people making mistakes. Christians make mistakes in this area all the time. Constantly. I'm constantly seeing this in the work of students that come to me. And I'm going to give you some examples of those mistakes so that we can learn from each other, so that we can correct this flaw in our own writing. And you can tell Lulu is very passionate about this subject as she snores very loudly in the background. So last summer, I was mentoring some students through the Act One Writing for Hollywood program. And my students were supposed to develop a story idea over the course of the summer program and pitch their story idea to me so that I could help them develop it before they actually went into script form. So first I had taught a 2-hour session on story structure so that they could have a beat sheet that they could follow and they could see how a story needs to break down in terms of the main character driving the action of the story, making choices, pursuing their goal. Thank you, Lulu. Pursuing their goal, all that sort of thing. And they were supposed to use that beat sheet to present their pitch to me. All right. So first of all, what was amazing to me in those pitches was how many of the students had at their center selfish characters, empty characters, vacuous characters who did not possess heroic qualities. It was amazing how often the wants and the needs of those characters were selfish. They wanted to fall in love. They wanted to be the best version of themselves. They wanted this. They wanted that. When I forced the students to actually articulate the want statement of their character, almost across the board, their want was not only selfish, but it was also something abstract or nebulous. They didn't have concrete objectives that the character could pursue. They were nebulous ideas, which I think is part of, by the way, what's happened because of this cynical culture that we've become a part of. We have characters who are full of ennui, angst, existential crises. That's what we've been fed. That's what we've observed. So now we internalize that when we're trying to write our own stories. So what's happening is, in our community, or anywhere really, all of my students then end up having these types of characters at the forefront. And these characters don't have a clear objective. They have a vague, abstract feeling, hoity-toity desire, something selfish or nebulous that they want. Now, I'm going to keep addressing this in the episodes to come because this is super, super important stuff and we're getting it wrong consistently. And part of what I want to do is I want to create something called the Storyteller's Starter Kit, which is a list of questions that you have to ask yourself and you as the writer have to know about your story in order to get set out on the right path from the very beginning. I want you to get launched in the right direction. So I don't want you to lose your way and then have all this work to do to fix it. So that's where we're headed. We're going to get to the Storyteller's Starter Kit. But the very first thing we have to address is the fact that most of these characters tend to be really passive. They're drifting. They don't really know what they want. They don't really know what they need. They're vague. And what they do want is self-indulgent. So they are not heroes in the making. Do you see this? Most of the characters that my students that are from the Christian community are naturally coming up with are actually anti-heroes, not protagonists. They do not have the makings of a hero at the beginning. And I would argue that in large part, it's because we have seen so many antiheroes, we're not even sure how to do the classic protagonist anymore. We're not even really sure what that looks like because we don't understand the difference between a flawed character and a morally compromised one. Again, stuff we'll unpack as we continue in this series. But right now, what we're having is characters that tend to be self-indulgent. They're not heroes in their making. They're not protagonists, because a protagonist has to have the potential to be a hero from the get-go. They've just never really tapped into it yet. So that's the first thing that we need to change: the kinds of objectives that we're having our character seek. You give your character a true objective that goes beyond their own selfish needs or desires, and all of a sudden you eliminate a lot of this problem. Second of all, the other thing that seems to be happening is that we end up having a lot of passive characters. Now, I've been talking about this from the beginning. So many characters are simply passive. There's a difference between a selfish character and a passive one, but we're having both. So not only are we having characters that are only pursuing something that really benefits just them, that is something self-indulgent just for that character, so they're not really a hero in the making, but also, because of this ennui, because of this angst, because of whatever it is, their driftingness that is so indicative of an anti-hero character, they end up being these passive characters where a bunch of things just happen to them and they're sort of victimized, which is a classic, classic condition of an anti-hero. They're the victims. Things just keep happening to them. Oh, boo-hoo, poor them. So that's another area that we need to address. We need to change that. So I guess you could say this is just an introduction to what we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks. And I'm going to give lots and lots of examples so that we can see how this plays out. And I want to encourage you to listen to these podcasts that are going to be coming up over the next few weeks, because this is not an isolated problem. This is consistent across the board. This is happening everywhere. Almost all of the projects I have been asked to critique or coach or evaluate recently have fallen into this category. Not all of them, but most of them. So it is a pervasive problem. So please, please pay attention to this. And then in the meantime, if you are a writer, I would love to be of service to you on your creative journey. Whether you need a coach or an online class to help you improve your craft, or a critique of already completed material, take advantage of my available services on the Storytellers Mission website, or send me an email at Zena@thestorytellersmission.com, and I would love to help you in any way that I can. In the meantime, I want to thank you so much for listening to The Storytellers Mission with Zena Del Lowe. May you go forth inspired to change the world for the better through stories.